Ron, when we look at what paved the way for this lawsuit, what exactly did Citizen Lab discover by analyzing Hanan El-Atzer's phone?
Well, we discovered that her phones, while not in her possession in Dubai, someone had typed in a website address that is used to install Pegasus spyware on a target's phone. In fact, we could see them manually typing this in. We knew that because the first time they did it, they made an error and then went back and did it again, and then the phone communicated several times with a server that we know is part of NSO Group, the manufacturer of this spyware, their command and control infrastructure.
She had been detained in Dubai, traveling there from Toronto at the time.
That's correct, yes. She's a flight attendant and had been flying from Toronto to Dubai in April 2018. When she arrived, several security officials took her aside and then arrested her, took her to a prison outside of the city, interrogated her for a couple of days, took her devices, and we analyzed them in December 2021.
And you can pinpoint the exact timing when this spyware was put on her phone to that time that she was there.
Yeah, we can do it right down to the second because we're forensically analyzing the phone itself and the crash logs and all of the commands that are sent back and forth. So we can, in effect, go back in time and actually see exactly when it happened. In this case, the person entering the website address on her Chrome browser did it, I think it was 10:18 a.m., April 22nd, which is, according to Hanan, when the phones weren't in her possession and she was being interrogated.
She was detained before Jamal Khashoggi's murder. Mm-hmm. Is the assertion that she was detained to put this spyware on her phone? Why was she held?
Yeah, she was both questioned about Jamal, what is he doing, what type of activism is he involved in, and that sort of thing. And then, yes, they planted spyware on her phone in order, presumably, to capture both whatever she is doing that might be of interest, but more importantly, I presume, all of her communications with Jamal Khashoggi. I should say that we at the Citizen Lab and other groups have subsequently confirmed since his murder that at least five people who are close confidants also had their phones hacked in this manner. In other words, there was a surveillance net all around Jamal Khashoggi using this type of very powerful mercenary spyware.
The NSO group insists its software did not play any part in any of this, the Khashoggi murder, as well as what Ms. El-Atzer alleges. From your analysis, though, you're saying you're confident there is forensic evidence that contradicts what the group is saying.
Well, there's no disputing the fact that these people had their phones hacked with NSO Group's spyware. Both Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates were, at the time, government clients of NSO Group. And using that technology, they were able to eavesdrop on Jamal's side of all of those conversations. Among them is Omar Abdulaziz, a Canadian permanent resident, whose phone was hacked in the summer of 2018. He was a very close confidant of Jamal. They were communicating regularly about their plans for pro-democracy activism, the very type of thing that would get someone in serious trouble with the Saudi regime. We show that his device was hacked with Pegasus, and he kept all of his chat correspondences of the type that I just referenced. So I think there's no disputing any of that.
As you speak to people, and dozens of them, who've had their phones infected with Pegasus spyware, what does it do to them on the most human level?
What we're seeing is, honestly, a huge psychological and emotional toll that is inflicted upon victims of this type of spyware. In Hanan's case, if you look at her lawsuit, you can see she described some of this. She's had a lot of emotional problems, psychological problems, after learning that her device was hacked and perhaps it was implicated in the murder of her husband. naturally anyone in that position would feel terrible about it. Some of the victims carry horrible emotional guilt, the kind of hidden underbelly of this whole area that's I don't think fully appreciated.
Why target the makers of the software and not just those who used it?
Well, I think in this case, the mercenary spyware vendors like NSO Group, they typically trot out a pat response where they say, look, we only sell this type of technology. We have, no insight into how government clients use it. But what we see in case after case are repeated instances of abuse by those government clients. And yet NSO Group continues to sell their spyware to them. Mexico, since 2016, I think we've done at least 10 separate reports showing repeated use of this type of spyware against journalists, human rights defenders, and so on. And I think it's perfectly fair to hold them legally accountable, and let's see if that's what the courts agree with.
U.S. President Joe Biden, back in March of this year, signed an executive order banning his government from using Pegasus. Do you think the Canadian government should do the same?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the executive order is a big deal. It doesn't solve the entire issue, but what it does is it prohibits U.S. federal agencies from purchasing spyware that presents a national security risk or is involved in human rights abuses, even those that take place abroad. Certainly Canada and other countries should fall in step and do something similar here, because it would, I believe, help reduce the harms that we're seeing.
Thanks for this, Ron.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Ron Diebert is the director of Citizen Lab at the University of Toronto's Monk School of Global Affairs and Public Policy.